From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com live starts right now.
From the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars.com live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. Nice little quiet week around the building, at least, not in National Football League. Some big news today out of the Boston area with Hernandez and such. But here, getting ready, like the calm before the storm before players come back next week, John.
It really is, and I'd expect it to be less calm the next couple of days. And as Blake Bortles said at the 17th hole shootout, the players expect to see guys trickling in, and it's going to get going here in the next couple of days with a big leadoff on Monday.
Plenty to get to today. Josh Norris will join us from Roto World and NBC Sports. We'll talk about that TPC challenge that happened earlier today and a little game of this or that that you're dominating against Brian Sexton, apparently.
On a roll, but the words since the start.
Took the words right out of your mouth. At Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice. Let's go to the phone line now and welcome in NFL draft writer for Roto World and NBC Sports. Josh Norris is with us. How are you, Josh?
I am doing great. It's a bit of a busy time, as I'm sure you guys know, but I'm happy to join you.
Well, it's good to have you, and thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. But let's start off with your most recent mock draft. You have the Jaguars trading with the Cleveland Browns to get the two first-round picks for the Browns and take Beasley and Gurley. Can you explain yourself here?
Well, I really wanted to stay on the good side of Jaguars fans. That's really the main point of emphasis here. No, you know what? To me, there's all this discussion of maybe a team that wants one of the two quarterbacks trades up to number two. Let's say if the Titans don't want either one, right? Or that they go to the Washington Redskins at number five. To me, it makes so much sense if the Cleveland Browns want to move up for the Jacksonville Jaguars to trade down to 12 and 19 because the prospects that would fill positions of need that are their greatest needs, most likely, are still quality at those spots. Edge rusher or that Leo position, and then running back as well. You can potentially get the best one in the draft, in my opinion. So trading out and maybe even getting a future, third, fourth round pick, something like that, it just makes a lot of sense for the Jaguars team needs and where you can select them in this draft.
Josh, John Osier here, and thank you for joining us. Sell me on Vic Beasley. Every Jaguars fan, it seems like, really wants this guy, thinks he's the guy. Every time I don't mock him, I'm getting people saying, no, you're crazy, they're taking Beasley. But you study this more than a lot of people. What makes him special, and is he a guy with a chance to be elite?
So I think on his own, Vic Beasley is a very, very good prospect. But in this system and in this scheme, it's a perfect marriage. It's like a glove. It fits perfectly, right? Because at that wide pass rushing position, that Leo position, whatever you want to call it, it's a lot of it is about disruption. A lot of it is about athleticism. A lot of it is about explosion and getting into the backfield. And we know that Vic Beasley is the best at doing that in this draft. Now, does he have a trump card? Does he have a counter move that always wins? That's the area where he needs to work on. He's not the strongest in terms of his hand use. He does flash an inside spin move, but what he, at the baseline, is going to give you is the best get off in this draft with supreme bend and flexibility to turn the corner, which will force the quarterback to at least step up in the pocket, to at least climb up in the pocket. And then when he goes up against poor offensive tackles, just his edge speed alone is going to be able to create sacks, create disruptions, and then he can continue to progress, continue to add moves, and when that offensive tackle is wary of that outside line, then he can work back inside. So, sure, does Dante Fowler have maybe better hand use and stronger? Yes. Is Randy Gregory a taller prospect with better arm length? Yes. But for this scheme and for what he would be asked to do, in my opinion, Vic Beasley is the perfect marriage.
The concern when you trade down, obviously, is you're moving from 3 to 12 in your scenario, which would stand to reason that you're maybe moving away from elite superstar guy to really good guy. Do you see a danger in dropping those nine spots in terms of, you know, this team needs special players. Can they get one at 12?
I think in many other years that would be the case. But for this year, maybe not. because in many cases, like, look, I only have 16, 17, 18 first-round prospects in this entire draft, right? And I would say teams might only have 11, 12, 13, and much of that is dependent, once again, on teams because that creates a lot of variance in these grades that teams do have. I just think that traits and matching up with what a prospect is being asked to do and putting them in positions to win is what really matters. And I think that maybe you might not get a Vic Beasley at 12. Maybe you get a Bud Dupree instead, and I think he would fit very well. Maybe Randy Gregory is on the board. That would be a very good fit, right? So I'm with you. I understand what you're saying in terms of having impact players. But at the same time, I would say that Todd Gurley can be an impact player, that he can be a foundation piece of your offense, and that's going to be tough to find in this class. But are you going to be willing to take him in the top 10? No, to me it's much more viable to take him at 12 or 19.
Josh Norris is with us. That was kind of my next question, running backs. It's the best running back class in a while, really, but how do you value these running backs? A lot of folks feel that it's a top of the second round at the earliest type of pick, but now you have him taking Gurley at 19 because he's that much more special, you feel, than some of the other backs. But take us through the running back class as a whole and why so high up at 19 when a lot of folks feel that's way too high for a running back.
Oh, I love these running backs. But I will say that I think that Todd Gurley is easily the top runner in this class, and then there's a big drop in tiers after him, right? Todd Gurley is a foundation piece of an offense. And like I just said, that is very difficult to find in any draft class, and even more so in this one. He can change the scope of how you game plan an offense, how you're game planned against, right? And I know that Melvin Gordon is frequently mentioned as being maybe an even better talent or an equal talent. I don't think that's true. I think that Melvin Gordon is much more in that second tier of running backs with Jay Ajayi, with Amir Abdullah, with T.J. Yeldon, with David Cobb, kind of in that same area. But I do think that's not to say I don't like him. I think he can be a very productive back, but I think there are many running backs in this class that can be productive from a pick up yards that are created for you and then create on your own as well. I just think that, once again, Todd Gurley is easily the top running back in this class. And I think a team that will use him correctly, that will make him a bell cow, that will make him a workhorse, should absolutely select him in the first round.
How happy was Jaguars Twitter with you on that pick, Josh? I mean, if they could have raised you on their collective shoulders, I'm sure they would have, correct?
Well, I even got, well, this is too good to be true. Why are you doing this to me? Which is something I never thought I would hear from mock draft readers. So I was happy with that. Maybe I just have to tone it down a bit in the next.
Okay. Say that your scenario doesn't happen and the Jaguars are at three. And first of all, do you expect Mariota, Winston 1-2? And if so, then what happens at three? Is it Williams? Is it Fowler? How do you see that playing out?
Well, I expect a quarterback at one, right? But I think in the next 2 weeks it'll be very telling for how much we hear about quarterbacks and the Titans, because I think that they're obviously going to spend the next 2 weeks talking themselves into Zach Mettenberger, excuse me. So then the whole issue is someone going to move up to two? I mean, this is a whole bigger discussion, but just to answer your question, to me how it sits right now is I think they'll take Leonard Williams at number two. So you still have a quarterback on the board at three. Then it comes into play, once again, the trade. I would even, and some might think that this is way too early for him, I, again, think that Vic Beasley is the perfect fit at number three. Obviously because of the Randy Gregory issues that we've heard of. Because Bud Dupree, yeah, he's a great athlete, but I just didn't see him as consistently perform in games as much as I would have hoped so. Vic Beasley is the total package, in my opinion. So if they stick at three, I would still say, hey, Vic Beasley's a pick, much more than Dante Fowler, in my opinion. Not saying Dante Fowler's not a good player, but go ahead.
I guess why much more? Because Fowler is such a consensus pick among a lot of guys, but you say Beasley even at three.
So Fowler, to me, he's very good at creating separation, right? He uses his hands, and he's ahead of the game in that regard. But, one, I don't think he performs like a great athlete. I think he maximizes the athleticism that he does have because he has a good get off and tries to, you know, create space after that. But if he goes against good offensive tackles that stunt his momentum, to me, there's a major issue in his game. He cannot restart that momentum. He lacks those counter moves. So he either needs to win at the line of scrimmage on that first contact, or he's not going to win at all. Now, I'm not saying that he's completely done progressing at all, and I still like Dante Fowler because I think that many pass rushers have those similar characteristics, but he should not be a top five lock. He should not be a top 10 lock at all, in my opinion.
Josh, I got to tell you, you had a couple of deep sighs during a couple of your answers there. Are you ready for this thing to be over with? Or?
He's just tired of us, JP.
No. You know what? It's actually flying by for me, which is great. I just have so much work to do that I'm trying to stay above water here.
How many more mock drafts do you have before draft night?
Oh, I will absolutely have five or six more. No, I mean, I'll probably have one next week and maybe two the final week of the draft, and then I'll call it after that. I have the second and third round after the first day, of course, and just have some fun with it. You know, these are fun experiences and fun scenarios to go through.
Good follow on Twitter, at Josh Norris, a writer for Roto World and NBC Sports. If you don't follow him, and most of you do already, of course, at Josh Norris on Twitter. We appreciate your time. Good talking to you.
Absolutely. Thank you, too.
There he is, Josh Norris. There you are. Get more in 2015. Become a Jags season ticket member and get access to amazing benefits. 365 days a year, the stadium experience at EverBank, recently voted number one by the fans in the NFL. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or speak to an account manager today, 633-2000. Jaguars.com Live rolls along.
Yeah, I'm doing here, JP.
What are you doing?
I'm flexing my this and that muscle.
I don't know. What
you're doing. I don't think you won last week, did he?
I don't know. Brian Sexton is with us now. And I mean,
how do you work that muscle out?
I don't. Very weakly.
We'll get to the this or that coming up. First off, some thoughts about Josh Norris. Different perspective there. And everybody has a scenario at the top of this draft.
Well, I thought it was very interesting, obviously, that he believes that Vic Beasley is worth it at 3 and might be there at 12. I think that's indicative of what a lot of people have been talking about the last couple of weeks, how even a lot of these positions are, that it's very conceivable that if a team likes a guy like a Beasley, like a Fowler, as much as Brian likes Leonard Williams, that you might see a guy who could go at 3, and then if he doesn't go, all of a sudden he's still there at 12. So, again, it's going to be a fascinating draft night in that respect.
When's your mock draft coming out, bro?
I wish that I could get paid like a lot of these guys to not be right.
Oh, you've been wrong plenty.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Look, I mean, and look, Josh Norris and a lot of these guys, Matt Miller, you know, they know what they're talking about. But I go back to what Dave Caldwell did last year with Blake Bortles. Mm-hmm. None of us thought that. You go back and look, you saw Khalil Mack, Sammy Watkins. There were a number of guys that everyone mocked to the Jaguars last year. None of them got it right. None of them. And so all the scenarios seem great. Give me one, right? I mean, if Mariota's sitting there at 3 and you can trade back and get 2 picks in the top 20 and address those, well, who's going to argue with that?
I'm just waiting for Kevin Costner to pop up as the GM in Cleveland, and maybe that'll happen.
I haven't seen that movie.
Who knows? Big news today, the Jaguars were involved out at TPC Sawgrass, the 17th hole charity challenge. Tony Buscelli represented the Buscelli Foundation, of course, Blake Bortles for Dreams Come True and Kay's Kids, Gus Bradley for the Mackenzie Noel Wilson Foundation, and yes, Jackson DeVille for the Tom Coughlin J Fund. Jackson DeVille put it within 5 feet for the win, $10,000 for the J Fund. But Gus Bradley spoke after the event today. He's ready to get the team back together in the building next week.
Anytime you get everybody in here and you get a chance to see that camaraderie starting to build, you know, the first team meeting and they get a chance. We'll start it off with, you know, individual meetings. They'll get a chance to sit down with their coach one-on-one and go through kind of a vision process or, you know, a point of attack tape, and just starts that whole conversation, that whole communication part. And we've got some new coaches that need to have those one-on-one meetings as well.
We mentioned the winning shot. Here it is on 17 today, 4 feet, 9 inches away. Easy pin placement today, though, for the Cat. I mean, let's see him do it on Sunday at the Players, right?
When I mean, he's wearing a mascot outfit. He put it 5 feet from the hole with college and professional golfers and guys who do this all. I mean, it's I've seen it before, but it's something to see.
He's a terrific athlete.
Yeah, I mean,
he is a terrific athlete. and he gets paid to play.
Yeah, I'm lucky to
Bermuda last
not fall down when I jog, Brian.
That's why I asked you about that this or that muscle, how you work that one.
work it out weekly, very weekly.
We'll get to that coming up. But the offseason program begins Monday, right? The 20th. The players are back in officially in the building. Gus is pumped up and ready. I know you talked to Blake today. I know he is, too.
Well, and it was interesting. Blake mentioned he worked with the receivers for a short time out in California last month. He's been working with a similar bunch at Bishop Kenny since he's been back in town. They were over there today after he was on his way over to Bishop Kenny to work out with some guys after he lost to Jacksonville this morning. So, yeah, he's working it, and as much as they can do out of the off-season program they've been doing, but it starts on Monday, and that's when he can start getting with Greg Olson. It's when the offensive line can get with Doug Marone. It's when things can really get started after a lot of talk for the last 2 or 3 months.
You know, it's just the nature of the way the calendar unfolds. We spend so much time talking about potential free agents and about additions through the draft. We neglect to talk about the young players who have great upside from year one to year two, which, I mean, it's almost a truism in the NFL that guys will make their biggest jump after their first year into their second year. And so I'm excited to see guys like Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee and some of these guys come back, and Luke Boanko and Brandon Linder, and get bigger and get stronger in Tom Iselinski's program leading into the season.
And whatever improvement this team's going to make, the majority of it's going to be what you just talked about. We'll spend time talking about free agents in the draft, but the core, if the team's going to improve, it's going to be what you just talked about.
It's going to be there.
Get ready to flex that muscle, John. We're about to play a game called
This or That. This or That.
It's called This or That, and I forget the score now. Is it 4-1?
4-1.
4-1. You weren't here last week, so we got another win by default.
It's arbitrary.
It's unbelievable. Depends on who you ask, I guess. If it's arbitrary.
Well, I'm asking me. Is it arbitrary, Brian? It is.
Number one, running backs. How big of a priority is this a priority for this team to get a starting running back?
Go ahead.
Gentlemen?
I think it is. And I think it'll happen sometime over the first 2 days of the draft. I would guess second, third round is when you're going to see it. I don't know that they're going to be able to execute the trade that Josh Norris is talking about to go up and get Gurley. But if that sort of thing happens, you could see them go up to, you know, 20, 24 and maybe try to get him. As soon as I say that, that's not really Dave Caldwell's MO, so it'd be surprising but not shocking.
I will say maybe, and it's because if they have a chance at a Melvin Gordon, who is a dazzling prospect, and I sat with him, as you may have seen, then I think you make it a priority. If he's somewhere within your range to be able, whether you pick at 3 and you're moving from 36, or whether you're moving around and gaining extra picks, if you have a chance at one of those two guys, absolutely, it is a priority. Other than that, I'd keep adding big guys and see what comes. I think working with the front line, you've got two guys that you can work with for the time being, and I wouldn't make it a priority unless it's a chance at Melvin Gordon.
No matter who they bring in running back, the offensive line will still be the key to the running game, even if it's Gurley.
I guess that's why I say it's not a priority.
There you go. Brian with off to a rousing start and a win in question number one.
See, don't you find that arbitrary that he just kind of randomly? Because I thought you made a good point.
I found it wrong.
Number two.
<It's not> arbitrary.
Greg Jennings reportedly in the building this week for a visit. Yes or no on Greg Jennings?
No.
No, okay.
No, because I go back to 2009 when they brought in Torrey Holt. And I know, you know, you had a more veteran David Garrard than Blake Bortles is. But 50 catches, 700 yards, no touchdowns. Holt was in his 11th season. Jennings is going into his 10th. Dave and Gus have built this roster with so many young guys. You bring in Julius Thomas, that helps. I'll give you more when we do our next segment here. But I don't know. I don't want a 32-year-old wide receiver. I don't.
I say yes because why not? But I don't think it'll have a huge impact.
John Osier with a win. Because I say yes, too. You need an old guy in a young room.
I don't think
what you
so.
Need.
And you got Jerry Sullivan in there.
Well, yeah. There you go. But you need somebody on the field. Anyway.
It didn't work for Tour.
We're all tied up going into question number three.
Did I find that wrong?
It's a topic you'll see a little later this week on Jags of the Round Table as well. Who is on your wish list? Brian, I think I know what you're going to say from this draft.
Well, yeah. I mean, give me Leonard Williams. The criteria here, you know, who are three players that you'd like to come away with in this draft? And I looked at it, you know, chronologically, first round, second round, third round. Second round, I'd like the slot receiver from Miami, Dorsett, who was at the Senior Bowl in Miami. We got a chance to see him. Great speed. That's why I don't want Jennings, right? Jennings is an old man in football terms. Give me the young legs and a guy that can really run. And I'd rather have the young guy on the field learning from the old guy, Jerry Sullivan, in the classroom than the old guy on the field who can't run like that. And then the third round pick, because I'm, you know, I believe in the big guys, Hieronis Grassu, the center from Oregon. You know, I don't know whether Bwanko's the long-term guy at center or not, but Bwanko's a guy who can play guard and center. So, you know, give me another body in there to deepen the competition and a young guy that I can build around.
Mr. Osher?
Fowler, if Gurley's there, fine. Best running back if Gurley's not there. And the best interior offensive lineman in the third round.
Did we even take the time to look for names?
Who knows?
John Osher, your winner again. He's now 5-1.
Oh, he didn't even look. Give me this guy. Give me that guy.
John Osher with a fantastic
Gurley and Fowler,
win.
And then I don't care.
Oh. In this or that today.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, my goodness. You're digging
There's
deep
no
on names.
Score. I'm giving you information.
Because that specific name is going to be there
the
in the third
this,
round.
Give me the best.
We'll look forward to your mock draft,
my wife
Brian.
Could do
Come
that.
On. Jaguars Radio, of course, tomorrow night. Jaguars Thursday, 6 to 7. Tony Vaselli, Jeff Lagerman, and me tomorrow at 6 on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Well done, guys.
I'm done.
See ya. Brian Sexton's out. John Osher's flexing.
Close it out.
Sister that muscle. For everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. We'll see you next week on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.